Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Michelle Berquist, your very humble host, and with us today is our leading lady, Julie Davis Farrow, who is the founder and president of Plantscapers Incorporated. And Julie, I want to say welcome to our show. Thank you for being our leading lady, and please say hello to our listeners on a Friday afternoon. Julie, are you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. There you are. Say welcome.
Okay,
tell
I'm
everybody
sorry.
Hello.
Hi,
okay,
I am.
Mute.
I don't know. I hit the do not disturb button. I apologize for that. Anyways, I am so thrilled to be here to share my story and honored that you asked me to be on your show, Michelle.
Well, very cool. Our title of our show is on Grow a Business, Thrive, and Energize. And I know you and I were talking before the show started that how energizing, and there are studies and reports that show, you know, a nice green work environment, wink, wink, is a really great way to kind of have some good working productivity and performance and all of that. You know, if I can ask you, it's like, what are some of those? Because I know I've seen statistics and studies on it, and if you can kind of share, it's like having a green, friendly environment. What does that do for you as a worker within an organization or a business or a work environment?
Well, I love that lead-in question. Thank you for asking that. There's some really fun facts that you can share at the dinner table tonight that a lot of people don't realize when they look at a plant. But there's NASA studies and well-building studies that have just emerged that actually show and prove what plants do. The number one thing that plants do is they lower stress and enhance productivity in the workplace by 12%. They attract by 12%. So that's a good ROI when you're talking to a CFO about putting plants in their office.
Sure.
Plants attract and retain select employees. Another great thing that they do is plants absorb sound and create a soothing environment. So if you have a restaurant that needs a barrier to be a little bit more quiet, you can put a plant wall up. It improves your corporate image, and it also improves the image in your home. Plant-filled rooms contain 50 to 60 fewer airborne molds and bacteria. People don't like to hear those words, but it's true. It's a natural pollution cleaner of the air. It reduces humidity by 30 to 60% and can lower your heating and cooling costs by 20%. So those are some really fun facts that you can share. And then a really cool word that is really hot right now is called biophilia. And biophilia is the, it's a really hot word. Say that at the dinner table at your next cocktail party. Yeah. It's what we like to make our world a better world and a better living space. People bring in their pictures and they bring in plants into their office. Well, that's all about biophilia. And there's huge studies on, you can see on our website or on Green Plants for Green Buildings website about what plants do for our offices and residentials.
You know, I love that. And I know this is going to get into what you do as a business, but I am one of those that is so not a green thumb. So I'm curious, because, I mean, I recollect back in my banking career, which is where I came from, and my corporate career was banking. And, you know, there was a period of time where they told us no personal items in your office. I mean, you couldn't do anything to trick it out or make it, you know, kind of your own warm space. So I'm curious, it's like, how do you, you know, do you deal with that with companies that don't want to have that kind of thing? And if you get people that, you know, I mean, for me, it was like, you give me a plan, it's going to be dead in a week, which is, I know, one of the reasons why, obviously, what you do internally with companies is a good thing to hire a service like yours to help keep those plants bountiful and beautiful and everything.
Well, Michelle, that's part of actually what our service is. We not only work with the interior design, architectural, and office community and design a fabulous workspace with interior plants and matching containers, but then we also guarantee and maintain them weekly. So literally, you can just come into work every day and you don't have to worry about the plants. They just there. They look beautiful. They make you happy, and there's no fuss. We take care of all that for you. It's a really great win-win for everybody.
I love that. And I know there's, you know, I know you're going to share, you probably have this very amazing scientific formula to this, but, you know, share with our listeners. When you go into a company and they say, you know, okay, we want to be more biophilia, you know, among our work, you know, our staff and our mm-hmm. employees and our guests that come into our work environment. I mean, what do you first do? I mean, why does a company bring you in? Are they making changes? And then do you go in and consult and say, well, a plant should go here or here? And how do mm-hmm. you choose what plants? And what's
sure.
your path find that magical work environment?
Well, what we love as interior plantscapers is when the designer specifies plants, because that means that if the designer has specified it, we have a much better chance getting in. Unfortunately, the interior landscaping industry is not sought after and budgeted as it should be. So a lot of times we're an afterthought. But typically, an architect or designer will specify that plants go in, and then we meet with them on the job site. We look at the light levels, but we also look at what the image is. What is the office trying to portray? Is it a contemporary feel with clean lines? Is it a traditional law firm with, you know, antiques? Is it transitional? What, you know, is it tropical? And then what our job is as professional horticulture designers is we put together a design that complements what they have going on in their workspace or their home, which is really fun. And it's with colors and of course the lighting is very important too. You have to put plants in the right lighting. So there's a lot of benefits that that we have that we bring to the table for the office, that if you just went to a local nursery, you wouldn't have all those attributes that we know.
Well, and I'm going to get into how you started your business, and we're going to talk about building that thriving business. But, you know, I'm curious with you, when you go into a company and you start consulting with them, you know, how do you interact and kind of decide which plants go where? I mean, is it something that, you know, you go by what the designer wants, or is it, okay, I mean, just walk us through a little bit.
Sure.
Here's what will be better. Share a really cool, you know, kind of client story that was a commercial working environment that you came in, and we can kind of walk along that journey with you.
Okay.
What did you do and how did you do it? Give us a good one.
Okay. Well, my favorite client, who has since retired, was in Irvine, and I walked into his office, and he was the most interesting man I've ever met. He looked like the lead singer in ZZ Top with a long beard, and he wore jeans and shorts and socks that were rolled up and big old shoes, and he was the CEO of the semiconductor company. And he said to me, Julie, I want my office to look like something from Mars. I want the plants to be unusual. I want the pots to be unusual. I want it to pop when people walk in. I want my employees to be happy, because if they're happy, they sell more. And I and he said, don't rip me off. You do a great job. I will pay you, but be fair, and we'll have a great relationship. And my God, I loved his attitude. I loved him. I never worked harder for anyone to make sure that I found exactly what he wanted. So what we did is we put plants in all the offices, and then in the open area where we call negative space, that's where like corners meet, and you need something with heights, because all the desks are pretty much at 36 or 42 inches tall, but you don't have anything to bring in from the ceiling down. So that's your negative space, where you need a tree in the corner. And that's what really softens and completes an office. So I found some fabulous pewter containers that looked like they were pods from Mars. They were rounded with this beautiful edge. And I put magnificent succulents that you have ever seen, because they had really, really good light, with rock at the base of his containers. And it was the most magnificent design I've ever done. And we won all kinds of awards. And he was thrilled. Yeah.
I mean, could you, don't you wish you could have 10,000 of those kind of clients?
Yes,
like,
I was
know,
just going to say that, but I didn't want to be negative.
No, I love it. I always think of there's a movie. It was, oh, man, I can't think of it. But it was Julia, oh, what's her name, from The Sound of Music. And she goes, so-and-so, make me an oasis, you know. And that was her,
mm-hmm.
that was
mm-hmm.
her term of just create me an oasis with, you know, all these beautiful kinds of things. And one question I've got is backing up, if you can remember back to this, but I know you were in college. And that's
mm-hmm.
where you, with your degree, you started Plantscapers, am I right, while you were in college? Tell us how you decided to do this. And I know your background was your degree, and it was in
no.
interior design. And, okay, so how did you decide to do
well,
this as a business?
The ironic thing is I really think that this business chose me. And as I'm older, I look back on life, and I really think that things do happen for a reason. I was literally a senior in high school, and I had big dreams like everyone else in Southern California of being a huge actress and a famous model, ha, ha, ha. And I had a friend who owned an exterior landscaping company, and his client, E.F. Hutton, if anyone can remember E.F. Hutton, in downtown Long Beach. Yeah, right.
I was seeing. That's how I'm old, yes.
Mm-hmm. Asked him to put interior plants in their new lobby, and he literally said, that's a girl thing. Julie, you do that because you're going to be studying interior design when you graduate. So I put in plants in his office. And then he said, well, who's going to take care of them? And I said, well, I guess I can come by after school and water them for you. And then their neighbors next to E.F. Hutton in Long Beach love what I did. And so I put plants in their office and so on and so on and so on.
Wow.
I didn't choose it. It just fell into my lap. I worked really hard to learn and to grow. I got so many extra credits in high school that I finished a semester early and really started working on the business. I ran it out of my room in my parents' house, then my garage, as you hear so many businesses that start like that. I know. And then I started taking college classes at the local JC. I took every horticulture class. I got my certificate in interior design and studied business. And then before you knew it, I had my first little truck with side panels, and I was working out of a Seal Beach nursery with my little desk and greenhouse in the back. And the rest, they say, is history.
Oh, and there's so many there, the little holes I want to fill in there. I mean, for our listeners, they're going, my gosh, you know, somebody in college and this, you know, we won't talk about the number of years, but ballpark, you've been in business 20, 25 years?
How actually, this is our 30.
Business?
This is our 35th year.
Wow, okay. And you've started it, and you've been the sole president, founder the entire time. I mean, have you ever had any other partners or owners, or this has been your thing, if I'm understanding it right?
Well, the funny thing is, at that time, when I was 18, 19, 20, I was doing everything myself. I was installing the plants. I was maintaining them. I was doing billing. I was doing customer service. And I was working two other jobs because, you know, the business couldn't sustain me financially at that point. And then I met a really good-looking guy that is now my husband of 26 years that joined forces with me because he was the Hulk, and he could help me.
Nice.
Carrying the plants and growing the business. So we joined forces in about 1985, and he joined the company, and he's been with me ever since.
Is he still the Hulk?
He is the Hulk. He's my Hulk, yes.
That's pretty good.
He's the strongest man I know.
Oh, my God. There you go. I love it. I love it. Well, you know, and this begs the question for all of our listeners. We have some of our listeners throughout the U.S. that are, you know, working for companies. I know they might be interested in starting a business. We have a number, quite a few women that are in business. And if you, you know, if I can put you a little bit on the spot, I mean, what do you feel in the early days were maybe one or two of the hardest lessons that you learned in growing a thriving
Ooh.
Business? You know, I mean, think back because I know there's probably many. I have lots of, you know, lesson learned and more wounds, but no mistakes, trust me. So mine's all learning
right.
lessons. I've made no mistakes
right.
in business. So how about you? What are a couple of those learning lessons?
You know, hindsight is just everything, isn't it? If I knew now what I know back then, it would be completely different. But I agree with you, Michelle, that things really do happen for a reason. I think the biggest thing that I wish that I would have learned early on is really to listen to my intuition. I think that women are gifted with an incredible intuition, and that the times that I didn't listen to that, even to this day, I regret it. The second biggest thing that I would really advise people to do is surround yourself with people that are positive, that support you, and make you feel better. I love this saying. I don't know who said it, but they said, when you have a conversation with someone and you walk away, do you feel better about yourself or worse about yourself? And I think, yeah, and I think that in business, especially as women, as we want to be nurturing and kind, there are some business relationships that I probably shouldn't have stayed on as long as I would have, or vendors that I worked with, or, you know, I can go on and on and on and on. And there's so many wonderful people out there, and my team that I have now is absolutely amazing, and I couldn't do what I do without them. But that would be the two things that I really think that are very, very important.
Yeah, those are great. And, you know, I think, obviously, it's like, you know, you've probably read all the different variety of business books, and one of them, you know, talks about, you know, when you're going to build a kingdom, I put it that way, as opposed mm-hmm. to you being the business, right? You've now mm-hmm. got a team of people. You have your layers. I mean, what, for you, it's like, what are some of the things that you feel have been so instrumental to your success in finding and then keeping the right team for your company? You know, because that's what's so hard, is recruiting the right people and keeping them motivated. You can't motivate them, but then you want loyalty, and then you want them to work hard and all of that. What do you think the things you've done to retain that loyalty and that productivity of your staff and your team?
Well, I think that interviewing and hiring right is one of the biggest things that I have learned over my 35 years. Take your time. Make sure you do the proper interviews. Make sure you check references, you know, blah, blah, blah. That is imperative when you're hiring. And then training. When I train someone or bring someone on as a team member, whoever's training them literally takes 2 weeks out and gets them set up with things that are proper, gives them the proper training, what our expectations are. We just don't throw them in because then they fail. We treat our employees incredibly. We have great benefits. We stock a huge refrigerator in the back for food and drinks for them. We have a lot of things that we do throughout the year. We have a wonderful holiday party. We have a picnic. We have meetings every month with our team. We're very interactive, and we take care of them, because people don't realize that we spend more time at work, actually, than we do at home. So if I'm going to spend my time, so if I'm going to spend my time with people, I want to make sure that we're happy. I mean, we all have good days and bad days, but we really try and create an environment that is really pleasing to everyone. And the funny thing is that when we hire someone and they're not right, they just kind of fall off.
Work themselves out, huh?
Yeah. but it is the biggest challenge in finding the right team members so our business can grow. That is the biggest challenge.
Well, and, you know, you touched on something that I'd love for you to elaborate a little more, and that is, you know, I mean, the culture of every business, small, medium size, large, every business kind of has a culture. And I'm curious because, you know, on the other flip side, I've, you know, interacted, and I have colleagues and friends of mine who are owners, and they'll say, you know, we try to put a holiday party on, and really all of our employees kind of look at us and go, we just want cash. You know, or we don't want to do a holiday party. So I'm curious from your perspective, was it very purposeful in how you chose the selection of niceties and benefits that kind of brought that camaraderie with your team? Or, you know, was there maybe a different way that you know that you or your employees like picnics? I know some companies are like, they can't get people to turn out for stuff like that, you know? So I'm curious what would be your advice to some of our listeners if they manage teams or if they're owning businesses and want to bring in more of the cohesiveness to their culture.
I think that what we do here is we collaborate with our management, and then we ask people what they're interested in. We have a very family-orientated culture here. They love bringing their families to the company picnic, and we have a jump house, and everyone brings their dish from their home. But we kind of ask of everyone. It's not, you know, me telling what people to do. At our holiday party, we had 100% of people show up this year. We had a magician that came. It's just fun. It's just a fun evening. We make it very, very special. We honor every single one of our employees. We have a fun gift exchange. We all work hard, and we need to have a little bit of fun along the way. So my team really, really enjoys it. Nothing is mandatory except for our meetings. So everyone, I guess we're just lucky in that. But I think that the new young generation is really creating environments that are like that. And I think there's pluses and minuses, so we're kind of in the middle of how we do that. We don't have people that bring dogs to work yet. We don't have surfboards outside like, you know, some of the Millennium offices that I've seen. But we just like to have fun, and we ask our team members what they want, and then we create something that's important to them.
Hey, and I got to give you a warning on those dogs. You know, if you've got an office environment filled with plants, you know, that's a danger signal, I think, right? Am I right?
Yes, it is. Well, it's the new thing.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, that's cute. Well, you know, here's another segue because, you know, I hope we can give our listeners some opinion. You know, you have built an amazing company, and you were actually on one of our panels quite a few years ago. Not that many, but, you know, had the pleasure to kind of hear you on different things. And I'm curious, you know, since 2008, let me say that, you know, there's so many businesses that were, literally turned upside down. It's like, you know, sales went from here to, you know, almost nothing. Do you have any sort of slices of advice on what you've learned post-2008? Because I can't imagine your industry wasn't impacted hugely, you know, from what you guys did. And how did you retreat? How did you build it back? You know, are things better now? I mean, these are all big questions, but what were some of the things that you had impact you from since 2008?
You know, that's such a good question, and a lot of times I'll reflect on that, and I'll think about that, and I'll ponder. And I think that the thing that's been very important to me is that I know this sounds so redundant for many business owners, but integrity is so important with the Plantscapers, and to say what you do and do what you say is the way that I run my company. And so many companies during 2008 fell off the earth because they didn't have that backbone, and they didn't follow through, and they didn't have good business ethics. And I think that when people were looking to get rid of, you know, perks or something, if they didn't have a good relationship with their vendors, they were the first to go. We were lucky in the fact that we were diversified. We lost all of our mortgage banking overnight. We didn't take a paycheck for probably 6 months. It was very, very tough. But I think because we had such a good backbone into our business and we worked very hard and we were very reputable, that we were able to storm the wave and get through it and just hang in there and work extra hard and give even better service and even more perks. You know, so many people were cutting back. We actually looked the other way and said, what can we give more? What value can we give more to our clients so they don't get rid of their plant service? So we worked really hard and stuck to our guns, and we came through it on the other side.
Yeah, I know that's good advice. And I think, too, it's like, you know, talking to a lot of businesses, a lot of them really changed either who they market to, looked for, you know, let's say different lanes. Did you do anything major different in how you approached business post-2008 to where you are now? I mean, is your system any different? Do you feel like you're using different terms or words or, you know, what you're trying to, you know, sell as benefits? Anything you can share on that? Because I've known a lot of companies that have had to change. You know, you could throw enough stuff on a wall as a contractor and it would stick, you know, pre-2008.
Right.
After that, you had to really, you know, get a little bit more fine-tuned in how you, you know, were out there as a sales organization trying to vie for business.
Sure.
Any thoughts on that from you?
Sure. We really are relationship-based. Our relationships with our clients is extremely important. They know all of our technicians by name. They know our office. We have a customer service manager that goes out and meets with them on a regular basis. So we're not just, you know, a plant company that just shows up and leave. We're very relationship-based. Mm-hmm. We also really take good care of our clients. We give away gifts at Earth Day and Christmas time. We acknowledge that they have living plants in their office. We really make a big deal that they chose to do that. And we also, you know, we have a really beautiful newsletter that we send out every single month, which is a lot of work, and I love it, but it's a lot of work. And I think that we really try and build on that relationship based and let them know that we are human beings and that we want to work with them too. We're very easy to work with. You know, if they need to cut back, perhaps we'll cut back areas where aren't as important, but we'll keep plants in the lobbies and so forth. So we just want to be someone that they know, that they can work with them.
Well, and I love that. And, you know, there might be some listeners that are kind of like tuning in, Julie, that want to reach you and ask more questions. It's like, can you share, if you don't mind, your how you want people to raise their hand and connect with you or contact you?
Absolutely. Our website is plantscapers.com. And you can, the best way to reach me is to email me at julie@plantscapers.com. It's PLANTSCAPERS, plantscapers.com.
Very, very easy, very easy. And I got just two final questions for you. You know, I know you talked a lot about the relationships and how important that is to you and your business. And I don't even know if you know this on my background, but I ran a corporate gift business for 9 years. So I was in the big-time appreciation and thank-you business. And I know that's been a real integral piece to you and, kind of your success as a business model. I mean, what is kind of your thank-you strategy, if you will? Because I know that was something that you kind of brought up, you know, from a business standpoint.
So that's so ironic that you asked that, because I am so old-fashioned when it comes to thank yous. I was just writing a thank you card. I write a thank you card every single day. I'm really big about saying thank you, giving thank you cards. Anyone who refers us, anyone who gets plants in their office gets cookies or chocolate dipped strawberries. Any architect or designer who refers us gets a $100 gift card. We are constantly acknowledging both our employees, clients, and associates by thanking them, either a handwritten note from me or someone in my office or a nice gift. I think that it's very important to appreciate those who have helped you get where you are.
Well, I have to say I love this, because I think, you know, that it comes from the top down, obviously, where there's just the attitude of gratitude. But I'm curious, is it very organized? Is it just kind of like when anybody feels like showing appreciation, they have the hall pass to do it? Or do you have more of an organized structure of who can send what, when, and what the choices of accoutrements are in cookies? I think I caught chocolate dip, strawberries, cookies, thank you notes. I didn't hear anything else, but I was like, ooh, it sounds very, very wonderful.
Yeah.
So how do you have that as an organized strategy in your company?
It's actually very organized. The salesperson turns in a form after they install a job that cookies are to go out with a really cute little note. And then if anyone refers us, a salesperson also turns in an acquisition that the cookies go out or the strawberries. It's very, very organized so that nothing slips through the cracks, because there's nothing worse than making a promise and then not following through on it.
Well, exactly. I mean, I love that. I mean, that's probably something I'd love to invite you back on, because I do think, you know, more businesses need to, you know, it just can't happen ad hoc. I think there needs to be kind of that systematic mindset, you know, and then obviously workflow and procedures and systems all have to be in place. So it all ties into a nice, neat bow. But here's my final question, because we're almost out of time. It's driving me crazy.
For our listeners,
you know, I think one of the things, you can always hear about somebody's past, hear their lessons learned, but what, paint a broad picture for us. I mean, what's the future? What are you hoping are your, like they call it a BHAG. What's your big, hairy, audacious goal out there for Plantscapers? I'm curious. What's big for you in the next year or maybe in the next 5 years that you can share? And just leave us on a high note.
Wow, that's a tough question. Well, we were just fortunate enough to acquire a company out in Palm Springs, so we're now covering the whole Coachella Valley, which brings a cover of service to pretty much all of Southern California. My goal has always been able to grow at a pace where we can take care of our clients, that we don't grow too fast, that we can take care of our clients and our employees. So I just take each day as it comes, and we've been very blessed, and we work very hard so far, but I think there's going to be some fabulous new products. We're doing living walls, which is amazing, and the architectural and design community is really starting to specify them. So you're going to start seeing living walls in a lot of environments, which I think is going to be the way that our business is going to go. And we just love it. And we're one of the top companies that can cover that. So I think that's going to be the continuation of our company, and the new thought leaders are going to be specifying that even more. And I think to work and be more respected in the interior design business and work collaboratively with the design industry is where I see the Plantscapers going.
So cool. Well, I want to say thank you to you. You've been awesome as a guest. And I also, as full disclosure, we were just talking earlier, and I want to congratulate you as a nominee, final nominee for the Women of Influence Award, now that we've chatted about that. So congratulations.
Thank you. I'm thrilled.
Thank you. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners. We love your loyalty and that you chime in and listen in every Friday at 2 and Mondays at 9 a.m. Julie, you've been an awesome leading lady, and I'm going to share that next Friday, our leading lady is going to be Carlene Hart, who is the president of ResumeSmith. And our topic, if any of you are not using LinkedIn, she is going to share with us how to optimize your profile and visualize your personal brand value. And if folks, if you're not using LinkedIn, you are linked out is what I like to tell people. And I've heard it. So at any rate, to all of our listeners, have a great weekend. We love that you sit in on Women Lead Radio. As I always like to say, please take a moment and support another professional woman because all of us is pretty grand. Have a great weekend, and we'll check you again. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.